In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first gospel reading, we heard about the healing of the paralytic at Capernaum. Not too long ago, as most of you know, I had the experience of Bell's palsy, which was where half of my face wasn't working. And you don't realize how much you appreciate the ability to do simple things like being able to blink your eye until you can't do it. But just imagine if you were paralyzed like this man and you really weren't able to do anything. You were totally dependent upon other people. But fortunately for this man, he had four friends. Four friends who were willing to take him to Christ. And even though, if we consider the scene, this is the first time that Christ had returned after he had begun his public ministry and he had caused quite a stir in Capernaum, and then he went to the surrounding area of Galilee, and then he came back and he went to St. Peter's home and probably hoped that he could get a little bit of rest. But people knew that he was there, and so people began to throng the house. St. Luke tells us that people from other villages were there, and they were all wanting to hear from him, and people wanted to be healed. And so we're told that Christ preached to them. But then you had these four men, and it says, "And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." When it talks about Christ seeing their faith, it was the faith of the four men as well as the faith of the man who was paralyzed, because he obviously wanted to be healed by Christ, and so he had faith too. And what did Christ do? He didn't immediately heal him. He addressed his greater need, which was his sins. And we're told that there were certain scribes that were there, and in their hearts they were saying, "Why does this man blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God only?" God used this occasion to demonstrate who Christ was, because the reasoning the Pharisees had was correct if Christ was just an ordinary man. Christ in the Gospels later on delegated to the apostles and through the apostles, their successors and the priests, the power to forgive sins, but that's a delegated power. But up to that time, there had been no indication in the law of Moses that anyone had been given the power on earth to forgive sins. And so when they said only God could do that, that was true. And Christ used this occasion to show them who he was, although they didn't understand it yet. And it says, "And immediately Jesus, when he perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." Sickness is a result of the fall, and so in one sense we can say that all sickness is the result of sin. But the scriptures make it clear that there are people who have illnesses that have nothing to do with them having sinned. But there are some illnesses that are related to people's sins. God sometimes sends people an illness to wake them up spiritually. And of course, some illnesses are directly related to people's sins. If you're an alcoholic and you drink yourself to death, then the physical ailments that you have are directly related to your sins. But sometimes God allows us to suffer an illness because he wants to wake us up spiritually. But the greater work of the forgiveness of this man's sins was not visible to those that were around them. But the fact that Christ raised him up was. And so Christ confirmed that what he said was true when he forgave this man, when he also raised him up, because they knew that only God could work such a miracle. Also, when Christ refers to himself as the Son of Man here, as I mentioned, I think a week or so ago, Christ was in one sense using a very common expression, which in Jewish culture would just simply be a way of referring to any man. But he used this phrase in reference to himself because he was hinting at the Son of Man that's talked about in Daniel chapter 7, who would come before the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and sit at his right hand and judge. And Christ never made this clear to people. At this point, he didn't come right out and say, "Yeah, I'm God, I can forgive sins," because the time wasn't ready, because he knew that there would be people who would reject him, and as soon as that was going to happen, the crucifixion wouldn't be far behind. But when Christ was being interrogated before the Sanhedrin, before his crucifixion, we're told that the high priest spoke to him and he said, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And we're told that Jesus said, "Thou hast said," in other words, "you said it. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." So here at last, Christ finally made clear what he was alluding to here. But gradually, Christ was showing his disciples and those people who had come to believe in him who he was. But you might ask, well, what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do even with Lent, you might say? Well, today we celebrate St. Gregory Palamas, his memory. And he gave a sermon on this passage for the second Sunday of Lent. And he provides us with an allegorical interpretation of this miracle that tells us how we can apply it to our spiritual lives. St. Gregory says that the four friends that we have are self-condemnation, confession of our sins, the promise to renounce our evil ways from now on, and prayer. The roof is the soul, or the reasoning part of the soul, the highest part of ourselves. But on top of that are all kinds of things that bar the way, the passions and earthly cares. And once we make friends of these four friends and we allow them to remove these things out of the way, then we can be let down. In other words, we can humble ourselves before the Lord and we can ask for and receive his healing and believe in him. He also said that the bed represents the body, which the mind, which pursues fleshly desires, clings to. And after being healed, we're able to carry it about. We achieve self-control, and we're able to bring forth the fruits of repentance. And so the message for us, the second Sunday of Lent, as we continue on in the fast and try to make spiritual progress out of this fast, is that we need to make friends of these four things. We need to examine our conscience, recognize and confess our sins, make a commitment to God to turn from those sins, and humbly seek God's forgiveness through prayer. And if we do so, we will be granted spiritual healing. We will be raised up spiritually. We'll be able to do all those things spiritually by grace that we're unable to do in our own power because spiritually we are paralyzed. We'll be able to do the work that God would have us to do and bring forth the fruits of repentance. Amen.